Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Matt Steinmetz joined now by Mark Grandy and Dan Dibley on the crossover. What's up, fellas?
Happy Friday.
Yeah, not a payday, but still.
It's Friday.
Friday.
Better than any other day.
Yep, yep.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, guys?
Just, trying to get ready for a fun baseball series tonight.
Yep.
And catching up on the latest hamstring pull down in Santa Clara, hoping there hasn't been one since I actually started this sentence.
Renardo Green.
Right.
The latest.
Yeah, of course. And it's a head scratcher for me as to why this keeps happening. And not that you have to assign blame, but, you would figure by the time you get into actual training camp that you would have your body in a spot to where if you broke out into a full sprint, this wouldn't happen as a professionally trained elite athlete, but I could be wrong. It just feels like this team has more of these than other teams, and I haven't done the deep dive on it, but I don't know, Grandy, it feels like the Niners have more of these little tweaks than other teams in camp.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look into all the other teams at camp and see what the numbers are, but I don't know. I think that it's general, even if you're working out consistently through the offseason, which I would imagine the majority of these guys are, you get into camp and that intensity is different, you're probably going to get some soft tissue pulls. That's probably what's expected. The issue is for the Niners that has tended to become or lead to serious things. I'm not that concerned about something to Renardo Green or to Ricky Pearsall at this stage, but if they miss a preseason game, you get closer to week one and they're still not ready to go, then I get a little concerned. But I don't know. Until I get the data dibs that suggest otherwise, I think this is just a kind of par for the course for what happens early in camp.
See, Steiny, that's a training camp stat that might matter. Number of hamstring pulls. Do the Niners have more than the other? I don't care that Drake May is leading NFL training camp in completion percentage.
He is?
Yes.
Awesome.
That's big
91%
time.
Over the last 2 days, or first 2 days. I don't care.
That's UPP, I believe. Unpadded percentages. Are you down with UPP, Steiny?
I'm ashamed to say that I asked.
Steiny, you down with UPP?
Sure.
Now, the answer is, yeah, you know me. Is it that hard, Rice?
Well, we went through this the other day. Steiny's still working on that.
Well, did you guys hear what happened at Niners camp today? Because Brock Purdy's out with a personal reason.
Yeah.
So Mac Jones was getting all the reps, and apparently he looked pretty good.
Of course.
McCorkle.
I mean, I like his arm. And he's really heady. He's heady.
Is he cerebral?
Very. Oh, yeah.
You better watch out, bro.
Anybody want a little trivia question?
Sure.
I've got so many trivia questions for you, but you go ahead.
Oh, and there's something you got. Okay.
Well, I'm the only reason I'm asking it is because Evan was not, he was kind of clueless on this. Five players are getting inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame Sunday.
Oh.
Do you know who they are? Five?
I got first dibs.
Hold on.
With the first dibs moniker.
I'm just
like me saying, I'm so happy, I'm giddy over here.
I'm just
Got
saying, these two guys are baseball guys, and let's see if they are up on what's going on.
CC Sabathia.
That's correct.
Yeah, his car broke down on the way to Cooperstown. Is that what happened yesterday?
Shout out Vallejo.
Yep. I love him. Personal experience.
Oh, go ahead. Is Andrew Jones in this class?
No.
Next year.
He should be.
Good fielder.
Yep. He'll be in next year.
So clearly, you guys have no idea.
Yeah, I don't
There's
know.
A manager in there somewhere.
There's not.
What, players? There's five players going in?
Correct.
That's a big class.
That is a big class.
Dick Allen.
Yep. That's Dave, Veterans Committee.
Okay. Dave Parker.
Yes.
Sabathia. Ichiro. This guy, Billy Wagner?
Last year of eligibility.
Yeah.
And this is a classic. This is a classic 10th time on the ballot guy where if you want to close your eyes and remember Billy Wags.
No,
he was dominant.
He was dominant. Yeah. He threw it with much more arm speed than that. And hopefully not that facial expression for the YouTube audience. But I thought that he was a Hall of Famer. But you get down to the 10th ballot. He's a 10th ballot guy where, also with the big ballot now. Now that you get to put 10 people on there, you get the big ballot is going to let other people in who might be borderline unfair because he had a great career. The one to watch for 10th ballot, and it's still premature, it's Alex Rodriguez. I think that this year, upcoming will be his fifth time on the ballot. And he's right there at about 35-36% historically. But the PR he's doing, that man's doing some PR now. So by the time he gets to the 10th ballot and the steroid era will be even further removed from our minds, you're probably going to see him sneak in.
Well, Sonny, you have a story about or with one of these Hall of Famers, correct? You said,
oh yeah, CC Sabathia. I told you he made my day once and it made me very proud.
And you said you would explain why.
So this was back in 2000 and we were down in Orlando and I was doing sideline for the Warriors and thank you. And a great producer, Vaughn Kilgore, I'm just sitting sidelines, and he goes, hey, CC Sabathia's here. And I said, okay. And he goes, what? Why don't you go over and interview him? We can do a quick 3-minute interview during your next hit. And I was like, okay. He was down there in spring training. So I walk across. He's like, yeah, just go ask him. Go over there and ask him if he'll do it. And then if he says yes, we'll do it the next one. I said, okay. So I'm walking over to CC Sabathia. And if you know me, I hate doing this. I just hate asking for anything. And I'm approaching CC Sabathia. I'm a little bit nervous. And you know what he said? Matt Steinmetz.
Whoa.
Wow.
What's going on? I'm like, how do you know me? Because I'm a Warrior fan, man. What's going on? I'm like, you want to do an interview? Yes. Of course, I'll do an interview. Yeah, he just made me feel. Whew,
that's
me
awesome. Pretty cool. That's yeah, really cool. Cool. Like, and now he's a Hall of Famer.
How the hell do you know me?
He seems like a really good guy. Too.
He is.
I've heard from everybody who's interacted with him, he's a good dude.
Great smile. He's got a great smile and a great disposition.
Overcame some demons too. Alcoholism.
Yeah. There you go.
But anyways,
that runs anathema or counter, for those of you not familiar with the word, to one of my most famous sideline experiences where I was doing sideline for the Sacramento Mountain Lions in the thank you. I don't think that when you're doing sideline for the Mountain Lions, you deserve a whoop.
Well, it's better than the rat he just played.
So. Pretty much. And they had a guy named John David Washington on the team. His father happened to be Denzel. And so I see Denzel front row in the end zone, and same thing, the producer's like, Dibs, I think Denzel's down there. Why don't you see if you can get an interview with Denzel? And I'm a little bit more brash and bold than Steiny, so I'm like, heck yeah. So I go up to, you know, Denzel during a stoppage in play, and I said, excuse me, Mr. Washington, this man doesn't even look at me. He's looking askance. He throws it up, the stop sign. And so I've been known to run a stop sign or two. And I said, Denzel, Mr. Washington, would you mind? And again, second stop sign goes up. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and think that that's a no from you, dog. So didn't even give me the eye contact or the, no, I'm sorry, I'm just going to try to focus on my son here. You know, I'm really locked in on this Sacramento Mountain Lions game. Double no-look stop sign for your boy.
Wow.
And we were on to Cincinnati.
So that's
I ended up interviewing the actual mountain lion, the mascot. Not quite as fun as Denzel.
Not quite.
So anyway. It was a mascot who talked.
I had to interpret. It was a nonverbal interview. I'm here with Mounty the mountain lion. How you doing? Clap, clap, clap. Double thumbs up.
Did he roar?
I think
roar,
he's happy,
he
guys.
Speak?
Neither. Neither.
He says we need some more points.
Needless to say, my TV career had about a quarter and a half left in it, and we were on the radio.
Anyway. By the way, really quick, A-Rod, fourth year on the ballot this year, got 37% of the vote.
Yep.
Bonds' fourth year on the ballot, he got 44% of the vote.
Okay.
So he's pacing 7%. Percentage points behind where Bonds was.
He is, but if you look at the actual trend of year over year, it wasn't until year, I think, 8 where Bonds actually got a real uptick. And at that point, it was almost charity votes. And also, a lot of Bonds' early years were not in the big ballot era where you're now allowed to put 10 people on your ballot. And so...
Well, it used to be 15 years on the ballot. You used to have a little more time.
You did.
So it does make sense that they would want to get more guys in. And I think in general, it's like, I mean, I respect the Baseball Hall of Fame, but to an extent. But it's just way too strict. Like, I think like we were talking about the other day, nobody's going to win 300 games anymore. Like, there has to be a different threshold for the modern players and the fact that most of these guys are not going to come close to the kind of career figures that usually you associate with Hall of Fame players.
Your story about Denzel reminds me of, and I can't remember who the producer was here. It might have been Lucas. When did the Giants play the Cardinals in the playoffs?
2014.
Yep. 14. So
also 2012.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was look here at 14?
No. That was let's see. I got fired DK? By Jason Barrett in 14. Might have been pre Donnie Collins.
Okay.
Because we had that little tweener time where Jeremiah Crow was the interim, and he thought he was going to get the gig, and he won't. So, yeah, that would have been pre-O-Canada.
Yes.
Pre-Canada.
So, Bob Gibson, the great Cardinal, it might have been Lucas. Hey, let's get Bob Gibson on. The Giants are playing the Cardinals. Was this you?
It wasn't Lucas.
Who was it?
I don't know. I started in 2016, though.
Feels like longer than that. Anyway, so the guy, I don't know, the producer calls up Bob Gibson, goes, hello, Bob Gibson? And Gibson goes, yeah. Hey, this is Jim Smith from 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. Would you like to come on and be a guest? Where did you get this number from? who gave you this number? It was in a Rolodex. I would never, ever come on a radio show in San Francisco. I'm a Cardinal. And he hung up on him.
Walked him off.
Now, you might be confusing the story that included Lucas with J.J. Redick.
No.
When Lucas did call J.J. Redick.
Oh!
And J.J. Redick undressed him.
Did he really?
For calling his personal
Step
self.
On up he to did. The mic, Lucas.
Very, very similar story.
Really?
Pretty much, how did you get this number? It's so unprofessional with a lot of F and S bombs in there.
What's unprofessional?
What's unprofessional is not using a center in a playoff game.
And not making a sub in the second half of a game.
And this was before he was a head coach, while he was in the media, and he did that.
Yeah, right, and as you guys know, from being around a little bit, and for some of us, a lot, many of our phone numbers are in media books for leagues as people who are representative of the team that you're the flagship station for. So you can go back and find the cell phone numbers of many, many people just based on the fact that we have sought credentials for these teams.
I know in the NBA they used to have the blue book and the red
That's
book.
Right.
There was still a, do.
Yeah, they still do.
The blue book was media. Yep. And hey, if you want to call the Golden State Warriors, here's their number, 1-800. But the red book was like, okay, here's Dunleavy's number, Meyer's number, Lacob's number, Goober's number. But the red ones were tough to get.
Yep.
Feel free to hand it out.
I never got a red one. Right. I saw one once.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live in the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. All right, Giddings, Granny, Dibs, and Steinies. Time for What's Bugging You? You see the gopher mounds, but the real damage, it's happening below the surface. Gophers and moles can tear up your property quickly, but quietly. ATCO Pest Control offers effective removal and proven prevention to stop the digging before it gets worse. Mention you heard about ATCO on What's Bugging You and get 10% off of any gopher or mold treatment this month. Check ATCOPestControl.com today. All right, I'll go first. It's Mikael Williams. Mikael Williams is what's bugging me.
Uh-oh.
Now, we had a little bit of a disagreement on whether or not that Trent Williams owns a private jet. I think he does. Steiny doesn't. That's neither here nor there. Because Trent Williams yesterday said, and I can't believe, Mikael Williams had the audacity to ask Trent Williams...
The audacity.
...if he could use his private jet before practicing once with the San Francisco 49ers. Rook, what are you doing? You cannot ask to use a private jet of an OG on the team before you've played one game for the squad. There's rookie hazing. There are things you have to go through in training camp. There might be an orientation. You're going to have to bring in coffee, donuts, all the things required of you to be a rookie before you even get to thinking that you can ask to use a private jet to fly to Cabo. Now, apparently, Trent Williams was nice enough in his private jet, which Stein doesn't think is real, to pick up Mykal Williams on their way to Mexico because they were going at the same time. But where do you get off asking Trent Williams if you can use his private jet? I'm sorry, is what's bugging me.
That's just a young man who knows his value and knows how good he's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
What it is it's that younger generation's entitlement. The kids think they're entitled, and it's part of what's wrong.
Yeah, I don't see it that way. I see it I'm going to go biblical on you. Ask and ye shall receive. And if you don't ask, then you probably won't get. So if he doesn't ask Trent for a little bit of that private jet hookup, Trent probably doesn't go out of his way to offer it up. So I've got no problem with the young man having the temerity or the chutzpah.
The gall.
The stones.
The audacity.
Evan, all of it to ask. And whether or not Trent Williams has a private jet is about as confounding as whether or not Kuminga got offered a contract, because Trent Williams probably doesn't have his own private jet. I'm just looking here. A used one is $3 million, and it could be $100 million for a new large one. What Trent probably has is a membership to NetJets or one of these other jet subscription platforms.
Jet subscription.
Yeah, wheels up. NetJets. Yeah,
all that stuff. Like
this
all
the 5-4 club.
The top pro golfers, like, they all have that. They don't have their own private jet, but they have access to a private jet whenever they want
it. So you're saying that all he did for Mykal was just give him a business card?
He probably picked him up. Mykal probably said, "Oh, yo, can I get your jet?" And Trent probably looked at it and thought, "Well, if I give you my jet, it's going to cost me about $200,000 to let you get a free flight. How about I pick you up, young rook? Be on the curb. We'll be there."
I'm going to need you to get a sack before we start talking about private jets.
That's fair.
I mean, he's a first-round pick, so.
He said he reminded him of DeForest Buckner yesterday.
Came out when he saw him for the first time, which, well, actually, no, because he saw him in Mexico. Anyways.
What's bugging me is also transportation related, and I hope, well, I know Steiny's not this person. I don't think either one of you is either, but if you are, I'm not afraid of it. Drivers who drive their car with their dog on their lap. Today I'm driving to work. You do not.
I have.
It's unsafe. It's embarrassing, and not only is it unsafe for you and the other drivers around you, it's unsafe for your dog. If you were to get broadsided, Fluffy is going to fly across the cab and through the passenger window. I was driving to work today, and I'm going to call her Karen just because I feel like profiling her. She had Fluffy and Biscuits, both about 4 pounds, on her lap, out the window. Knock it off, you people. Put the dog in a safe place and drive your vehicle.
Was she driving poorly?
She was in a red light, but...
No evidence that she was driving poorly as a result of dogs on her lap.
You know what the evidence is?
What?
Fido and Fluffy on her lap. That can't be the best way you can go about commandeering a vehicle. Knock it off, you people.
Well, sometimes Clifford has anxiety, and the only place that he feels secure is on the lap.
Now, that is interesting.
I'm just saying. That's why I have driven with a dog in my lap.
Well, I would love to... I never drove with a dog in my lap, but I've obviously driven with a dog in the car. And maybe a dog expert could tell me this. If we leave our dog at home alone, it gets a little stressful. But I feel like when we leave the dog in the car and, like, go have dinner, there's something in the pea brain where he knows, well, it's the car, they gotta come back. But the house, somewhere in his pea brain, I think, thinks, what am I doing here all alone? I don't even know where I am.
Right.
Anyway, maybe we could get dog
expert. Dogs in cars, though.
Crack the window. You'll be fine.
On a day like today, you can. I mean, it's like 58 out.
Leave a sign. Otherwise, a good Samaritan will break your window. Got to save the dog.
Dude. Only if it's not cracked. Legally, if the windows are rolled up, you can break the window to free the dog.
Like, I've never gotten back to my dog who's been in a car and it hasn't been zonked. Just zonked.
Zipped?
No.
The dog asleep.
Oh. Asleep.
I'll go next. What's bugging me is what's happening across Major League Baseball this weekend. I don't know if you guys saw, but all teams are wearing a throwback hat.
Oh,
but that's cool. Only a throwback hat, not the rest of the jersey or uniform. So you'll have an old school hat, but the modern day jersey. So the Giants are wearing an old school hat, and actually it was a hat they've never worn, but their logo from the 40s through the 80s, it's the orange baseball with the black Giants inscript across the front, but they're going to be wearing it with their modern day uniform. If you're going to go throwbacks, go all the way throwbacks. That's what's bugging me.
Fair. I don't have... Why do
What's
I have to ask
you,
something?
Stein, it's your turn.
Oh, okay.
You're Captain Leave Early on a Friday, and
we're trying to help you out.
The last box you have to check is concoct something that's bugging you, and I gave you three gems during the break.
I'm going to go off the board, Alex.
Thank you.
So, one of the things I believe in, an umbrella-type statement, it doesn't work in all instances, but fans care more than the players. I'm sorry. Fans care more than the athletes themselves. And I have proof. I have proof. And it's on Ken's arms. Producer Ken has a Mets tattoo. I believe a Dolphins tattoo. Okay, he has a Mets tattoo, a Knicks tattoo. Is there any other team? So he's got a Knicks tattoo and a Mets tattoo on his body.
He has Mr. Met on his forearm.
Yeah, the mascot.
And I will bet you there's no player currently playing professional sports that has his team's tattoo on his arms.
Jason Terry got a tattoo of the championship trophy.
That's different. That's not a team.
Mavericks. That's the Larry.
Like, even Steph Curry wouldn't get a Warriors tattoo. Now, I admire it. I admire the fandom. I do.
He's an Italian.
I am a little worried that you've taken it a step too far. But congratulations. Who's pitching for the Mets tonight?
Clay Holmes.
Yeah, congratulations. You care more than Clay Holmes about winning that game tonight.
Why wouldn't I? I'm
certainly
a fan.
Hope not.
Right, and he can't be traded. If you are Ish Smith of the NBA and you've played for 14 teams... Well, now your body is covered in tattoos. And you know what? You might be heading to a 15th team, so you got to get a tat.
It's like
of
a
that.
Scrapbook.
Right. If you're Ken, you can't be dealt. You can't be DFA'd. You can't be cut. You're a Mets fan. Get Mr. Met. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
He's also assuming that there will never be something this team does that he gives up on him. So the Mets and the Knicks organization, they know who they have in this guy. They don't have to worry about
him. Well, let's be real. I mean, Ken's in what, his mid-30s? He's been through some down times for the Mets and the Knicks. If he's still a Mets and Knicks fan, there's nothing that's going to stop him from being a Mets and Knicks fan.
Is this true?
He's the kind of fan.
I've seen it all, guys. I've seen it all.
Boxer and Gerson, work injury attorney's text line. Max Crosby has a Raiders patch on his arm?
Well, I'm talking about tattoo.
Well, it's a tattoo. It's not a patch, like a sew-on patch.
A patch is what you put on Levi's.
The texter is correct. He does have a Raider tat.
Crosby!
Yep.
He cares.
He sure does.
Like, no wonder the Mets and the Knicks have never won anything. Their owners know their fans are just going to stick with them no matter what.
They have, just not in our lifetime.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Anyways, thanks. Okay. Enjoy the rest of the show, and have a happy Friday on 95.7 The Game. Will and Dibs coming up next.